here we are again for another episode of the What's Up Cuz podcast. I am your co-host, Dr. David Brock, and it's my honor and privilege to always be beside the one and only, always ready, the gorgeous and innovative one that I always say, Dr. Sharon McDaniel, my cousin and co-host. What's up, cuz?
What's up, cuz? How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm recovering. I was on a 9-day straight jaunt from New York to Tennessee, and then back to Pittsburgh. So I am recovering after, I think I got home around 2 o'clock in the morning yesterday. So I'm just recovering, but I'm so glad to be here with you.
I'm glad to be here with you as always. This is a little different for us. To our listening audience, I'm used to being in studio with Dr. Sharon, and today she's actually not in studio, but we're recording remotely, but we wanted to get this in. So this is a little different for us, but I'm glad to know that you made it back to Pittsburgh safely after your 9-day whirlwind tour of the world. So what was going on? Anything exciting? Anything new? What's happening in your world?
Well, you know, as you know, we just finished up the Kinspire program with the working with Carolyn Gray, the content creator out of New York, and then our team from Pittsburgh. And one of our guests, actually, she is a therapist extraordinaire, and she was with us, and that's when we learned about her program. So we'll be talking to her a little bit later. But yeah, so after our Kinspire program, which for our listening audience, it's really a program that I created, you know, in my mind, and, you know, you have one idea conceptually, but when it actually comes to fruition, it's absolutely beautiful. So we wanted to take young people from Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and New York to New York Fashion Week, but in a way that would allow them to intern with a designer, understand culturally what New York Fashion Week was all about, as well as get a chance to see the art. And so it was just, you know, more than I could have ever imagined, just absolutely exceptional and so grateful for the opportunity. So then after that, I had an opportunity to go to Alex Haley's farm that is owned by the Children's Defense Fund for a retreat with Casey Family Programs, the board where I serve as a trustee. So that's what I was doing, Dr. Brock.
Jumping around all over the place. Well, you know, as I said before, it's amazing how you've allowed yourself to be instrumental in changing the lives of children around the world. Yes, I was on the fortunate to be a part of the team on the ground there in New York working in the Kinspire program. It's in a phenomenal program just to see all that was done in the lives of those children and all that will be done. So kudos and hats off and congratulations for taking the dream and making it a reality in the lives of those children. I'm grateful to have witnessed that, and I know great things are going to come as a result of that. And for those of you, our listening audience, we will be sure to put the information that you can see and learn more about Kinspire in the description. So if you go and look at the description, you'll see links to find out more about Kinspire. So we welcome you to get involved and to find out how lives are being changed for children around the world, around the country. And as you said, Dr. Sharon, one of our guests today is in a phenomenal therapist, and she served with us there in New York, and I saw firsthand the amazing abilities that she had to relate to children and to just make a difference and to get them on board and to watch these children open up and share with her. And one of the children had a moment where he kind of had said something and the other kids didn't like it. And they were like, you ain't going to do that with our teacher, our instructor. They jumped to her defense like, hey. And Dr. T was like, okay, everybody calm down. But I watched her firsthand. She was amazing. And so I'm just excited about having her here with us to talk about some things that are going on in her life. So thank you for inviting her, Doc, and we're glad to have her. I guess we will let you kind of introduce her a little bit and then we'll bring her in.
Absolutely. Well, as you indicated that Dr. Thornhill was just phenomenal with the young people. We brought her in, you know, later. She knew that she would potentially be working with us, but we didn't give her much information. We said, okay, ma'am, you're selected. You'll be going with us next week. And she says, oh, okay. But it was like that she was a part of this program from the very beginning and how she just came in and gelled, but more importantly, how she worked with the young people. And the reason why I really wanted to make sure I had a therapist on hand is because we never know what could trigger young people who have experience with trauma. And so I wanted to make sure that we had somebody on the ready to be able to address any issues. I didn't see it many, but if there were, I know that Dr. Thornhill handled them with just masterfully. And so when we were talking with her, she was talking to us about her program that she is endeavoring to launch. I believe it's next week. And so we wanted to bring her here to talk about her program, and she'll be able to introduce it more appropriately. But what I would like you to do, Dr. Thornhill, is tell our audience a little bit about you. So welcome.
Welcome, Dr. T, as I call you. But Dr. Thornhill, we welcome you to the What's Up Cuz podcast. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for
being here. Absolutely. So you have a program. We want to hear about you first, a little bit about your background, and then we want to hear about your Beyond the Couch Brunch show. That's what we're here to talk about. But who are you, and what makes you tick, and why did you become a therapist?
Okay. So I'm Dr. Tamara Thornhill, and I am a therapist. I'm also I'm a mom, and I've been doing this now. This is my 20th year in the nonprofit and mental health sectors. I first started when I got out of college in a second chance. That was my first job straight out of college. I'm still 21 though. So
absolutely. You look like you're about 21.
Uh-huh. Right. How could that be? 20 years and you don't look older than 25.
But I've always had like a knack for helping people. My grandmother was a helper, and I was raised by her. And just from earlier on, I started working in her hair salon. It was called Cut and Curl in Homewood. They just tore the building down last year. It was like, I was an assistant in the salon. So learned a lot from her because, believe it or not, some people don't look at it like that, but your hairstylist is your therapist, as I call them, your hairstylist therapist.
I love that. Therapist. Okay, I'm going to have to call that, Dr. T. Okay, therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's someone you go, you talk to. They know what moves you. They know, you know, what makes you look good. They know, they try to even tell you from some things that you might want that you don't need. But more importantly, they can hold your deepest, darkest secrets.
And, you know, it's absolutely true. And you remember when I had a second glance, I still have it. But that was one of the things that I did, not, you know, recognizing that our kids would be sitting in the chairs of stylists. And so I trained them on how to understand triggers and things like that. But I didn't have that fancy term back then. So now that I have therapists, it will show up in my Substack, and I certainly will give you attribution.
Thank you. And I know this may sound, I used to go to a second glance too. Sean used to do my hair. I know.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, that's so funny. Absolutely.
Thank you for creating that environment, because it was such a lovely salon.
Yeah, it was.
You're welcome.
I didn't go get my hair done, but I did get my nails done there, Doc.
Oh, absolutely. It was full scale, you know. So, it was just one of those, another vision, right? Because we recognize our young people and our families needed to have a space to go to. Feel free to be themselves. And so on Tuesdays, it was actually family day. So that's why I wanted the therapist to be to be skilled around, you know, what the young people or families would come and talk about. So thank you, Dr. Thornhill, for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've started out in the salon and then went on to different endeavors, but I've always been like helping. So I've been a server. I have been, I worked at a bank. I just did different jobs, but they always involved helping people. Hence, like, you know, where I've came to today, like, I love helping people. I love helping them heal. So when someone had asked me before, like, what was my superpower? And I thought about that for a minute, like, I don't have any superpowers. And then I was like, oh, I am. I can help people heal. I'm a healer.
Yes, mm-hmm. For sure. And you don't have my three in your out rule. We cracked up about that. You know, like 1, 2, 3, gotta go. So, you know, one of the things that we talked about that I knew that I was not going to be good at is 1, being a therapist, and 2, being a server in a restaurant. Cause, you know, so everybody has their calling, and I've seen you beautifully, handle your calling. And so kudos to your grandmom for 1, raising you, but also inviting you to be a part of serving early on in your life. And so I'm just grateful, because I saw firsthand and really gave you a shout out when we came back to the organization about just your care and your way. So I was just, not that I would have been surprised, but to see you in action was pretty extraordinary.
Thank you.
You were.
You're welcome.
You were amazing. And I enjoyed watching you and learning as well. Your patience was second to none.
I appreciate that. And I feel like my approach is different too. So I'm not like a sit across from you and be like all tight and, you know, upbeat. I try to be more relatable and in my service delivery, and then also just to understand. So I listen. I try to keep abreast of like what the kids are, what they have going on, and what the trends are on TikTok. So sometimes I surprise them when I know things. They're like, "Wait a minute, you know that?" I try to like educate myself and be fully immersed. And plus, as a mom of teens, I have to try to stay on top of like what's going on. So I also know how to incorporate that in my parenting.
So that's, and I want to hit on something that you're just really talking about. One, being immersed in what's going on with the young people, but I know you work with families. And we know that in certain sections of our society, particularly the African American community, we've been not necessarily culturally aware of the role of therapists until more recently. In fact, you know, I would say that, you know, very often the Black church talked against it. Now I think that we recognize the importance that God made therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists. So, you know, now we're kind of moving toward, you know, whatever you need to do as a part of the healing package. So can you talk a little bit about how your approach and how you've been able to kind of dismantle some of the myths that happens within certain communities, particularly the African-American community, so that people know that healing and working with therapists is a part of that journey?
Yes. So for me, like my approach is it's twofold. So I take a lot of lived experience, but I also incorporate the theory that I've, you know, learned and modalities that I've learned. So when someone comes to me, they can expect, they don't know what to expect. So sometimes they're like, what should I talk about? And I always say, this is your session. This is your story. Like you start wherever you want to start. You can start with whatever's like bothering you, or you can go all the way back to your childhood. We can work our way back to present day and time. So just letting them understand that, for one, it's a safe environment. And I am a mandated reporter, but only if you tell me that you are going to harm yourself or harm someone. So everything else under that is kept confidential. I am the person that I don't know you. I don't have any skin in the game. So yes, you can have your friends, you can have your family, you can have your best friends, your good girlfriends. But I'm giving you unbiased information. So you don't have to worry about me coming from a lens that I already know you and I know your business. I treat every individual different, even though sometimes I treat families. I often have like mothers, daughters, and what I've learned is they'll come to me and they'll say something. And I've learned how to get like a really good poker face on, because they'll say something that they feel like I should already know, because, oh, you see my mom, so I know my mom told you. And I just sit there and act like, I don't even know what you're talking about. So you tell me more about that. And then just from letting the Black community more so know that it is okay to see a therapist. It is okay to talk to someone, because we learned about, well, we were raised, you know, what happens in this house stays in this house. And
right.
The house hurt people.
Yes.
So the house is where all
hurt people. Yeah. But I like that quote unquote, the house will hurt people. And we got to dismantle that myth. You know, I mean, clearly there are some things that are, you know, for families, but to the point that it becomes the secret that harms and continues to harm over a life cycle. Those are the things that we have to break, is what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, thank you for that. And I really appreciate the work that you're doing with families and that whole notion of healing. And how do you, you know, healing takes on a life of its own. And how do you define healing in your work?
So for me, and in the work that I do, healing is whatever works for you to help you feel better. So healing can be eating that slice of pizza. Healing can be going for a walk. Healing can be saying no, enforcing boundaries. Healing can be taking a nap.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It can be whatever it needs to be for you. Healing is not linear. Healing does not look the same for everyone. So don't compare your healing to someone else's healing. You know, don't compare your journey to someone else's journey. Healing is whatever you need to do to come up out of the situation or improve your situation.
That's good. And another question before we go, and I know, Doc, you know, this is my jam, so you know, I'll be...
I'm enjoying it. Y'all go ahead. I know this is your space.
So, Doc, you know, this whole, you know, probably about, well, 15 years ago or something like that, you know, the child welfare system particularly moved to this trauma-informed lens, right? Like, we're treating young people from a trauma-informed lens. But when you ask people what that really means, I don't know if there's a universal understanding of that. And so, you know, we kind of, in child welfare, we go on these little tangents and that becomes the movement of the moment, if you will. But which can be very distracting, and it could be very harmful, because when people don't necessarily understand what the work is rooted in, then they can swing for the fences. So when you, as a trained therapist, as a doctor, when you think about trauma-informed lens, what does that mean in terms of the real work in the real world?
So for me, trauma-informed is actually looking at what happened to you and not phrasing it like what's wrong with you. But even lately, because trauma has a negative stigma attached to it, I've been using the term resilience-centered.
Good.
So just shifting that narrative on, let's focus on bringing and helping build the resilience from the situation versus like the trauma and the negativity. Even though being trauma informed is essential, it is extremely essential in dealing with other populations that we deal with, because we have to have an understanding of what we're looking at. Everyone's response to trauma, everyone's things that they experience are different. So for instance, from a trauma-informed lens, you may see a child that has behaviors, right? You think that Johnny's just coming to school and he's acting out because he's acting out, when realistically he has a lot of trauma and violence at home. So behaviors and communication are also indications of trauma. Some children are not just acting out because they want to act out. That's just their way of communicating that something is happening, something in my world is not right. Mm-hmm. And I need for someone to at least take a moment to understand that and listen to me.
Right, right. No, I love that. And I had often talked about that if we stay stuck in the trauma, then how do we move to healing? So as you talked about resilience-centered, I think I've kind of called it healing-centered in some ways. Like, how do we move from trauma to healing? Mm-hmm. And I think that I was reading something more recently that talked about, you know, sometimes people and clinicians have had people stay stuck in a space of trauma. And that's when I talked about, you know, not taking away from the field. But when I talked about you have three times to talk about this, it really what it means to me is, how do we move to that resiliency? Right. How do we move from the story to the victory? Right. Mm-hmm. Or to the opportunity to see it through a lens of, yes, this happened, and how do I move through it? I don't forget about it, but how do I move through it? And I have my own, you know, lived experience being in the child welfare system and some of the trauma, but I knew for me that I couldn't get to my North Star staying stuck in the story. And mm-hmm. So I don't know, and everybody's different, that's clear. But I knew that I had to be, I didn't want to stay stuck in the sadness, if you will. And so and that's just the way I kind of dealt with my life. I acknowledge it. I see it, but I'm going to move and have the story inform my decisions as I move forward, but not debilitate me. And that was sort of how I kind of, moved through, in my life around some of my own trauma.
Yeah. Cause it happened to you, but you don't have to let it consume and, you know, take over you.
Yes.
It can also spur and spark healing. It can spark some amazing outcomes.
I think, Doc, mm-hmm. to your point, Dr. Sharon, to your point, just doctor, 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 all these doctors, you can't just say doc in this moment. But Dr. Sharon, to your point, I think Dr. Thornhill, when you and I were talking last week, we kind of talked around, and I'm hearing this in what Dr. Sharon just shared, the difference. And can you speak to clarifying the difference of what happened to you versus what happened in you when it comes to trauma?
Okay. So what happened to you is the situation, right? And then what happened in you is how you handled it, how it impacted you, and how you move forward. I think that's like the nutshell, right? Gotcha. So, for instance, like we can all, there are, let's, I'll just talk about myself really quickly. So I've been through several incidents, like, you know, recently losing my mother, and she didn't raise me, and my life was a little bit traumatic when trying to have the mother-daughter relationship. But that happened to me. But even still growing up, I believed in, like, I'm a believer. So the Bible says to honor thy mother and father. And when my mother got sick and I needed to be her caregiver, I had to do some self-evaluation, because initially I felt like she didn't raise me, so I don't really owe her anything. But then the Bible says honor thy mother and father. So prayed about it. And then I took it upon myself to not allow what happened to me to dictate how I handle her and how I move forward. And that helped me to heal.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Cool. Yeah.
And thank you for sharing that, because I know that that's a more recent occurrence in your life. And so I really appreciate you leaning in on that. And that's exactly right. You know, I really, so at the retreat that I was just at, we were talking about forgiveness, right? And so this whole notion of what does forgiveness really mean, and how do you sit with it? And our facilitator talked about, you know, that, you know, forgiveness can be very difficult for some people. And so, but when, and for me, like you, centering my life in my faith, who am I not to forgive? Christ forgives me every day. So who am I not to forgive for the transgressions or whatever? So I really, really appreciate your story around that, because at the end of the day, what I tell people is that, you know, there's not a parent manual. You know, you have right. these, you know, we have, I mean, you know, if you're in a program, then that's where you find out, okay, these are the four things you should do. But when you're first starting out, like, where's the manual? And so having the ability to talk to people, having the ability to talk about, you know, what I've done wrong. I've had to apologize to my daughter. Like, girl, I didn't know, you know, and I didn't make an excuse for it. Like, listen, I really apologize for some of the things, the mistakes that I've made, because that for me makes a better relationship when you're able to acknowledge. And that's for me, I had to acknowledge some things that I could have done differently in her life. And that's why we have a really positive relationship now, because I was willing to own my stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate the conversation here. And so, and again, thank you so much for sharing that tender part of your life. So I want to now move to beyond the couch and that brunch that you're having. I want to just pause for 1 second. Cause I know, Doc, we're not ready for our second guest right. yet. So we're still going to, go with, our first guest. We have two guests for you guys today. So, Dr. Thornhill, beyond the couch, talk to us about your brunch that's coming up.
Yes. I'm so excited. So I was looking for a community of individuals like myself. So I am a licensed professional counselor, and there were other programs and other things that centered around social worker. And I felt like, you know, my community needs to have something for us. So typically when you see a professional, you're sitting on the couch. You're in the office, especially a therapist, like you're sitting across the desk from them, but you're on a couch. So beyond the couch stands for coming from beyond the couch, out of the office, amongst each other. I want a professional. It doesn't have to be a social worker. It doesn't have to be a counselor. It could be an advocate. It could be a first responder. It could be an educator. It can also be a social worker. So I wanted to create a day for us to come to fellowship, to have some food, listen to some good music. They're going to get some complimentary massages, but more importantly, to refill their cup. And when I say refill their cups, I mean literally. There will be coffee, there will be beverages, there will be mimosas, but whatever it takes to refill your cup, I want you to take that opportunity. This is the day for you to do so, because they always say, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup, and we pour consistently from empty cups daily because we're always pouring into others. And this is a chance for us to pour into each other and to fill our cups.
That's excellent. I really, really love that, because to your point, you know, you can't give from an empty cup, right? And so how do we really replenish ourselves And one of the things in the helping professions, we're not taught to do that very often, right? We're not taught to pause and refill so that we can go at it again. We're, you know, it's like you're depleted and you keep on, you know, depleting yourself. So I really love the fact that you're really asking us to take a lookward inward and to be able to get our cups filled from each other, right? And so I love that. I love that. Now talk to us about where it is, when it is, and if there's a cost to it.
So it is, it's next Saturday, September 27th, from the hours of 12 to 4, inside the Cohatch in the Waterfront, which is 137 West Bridge Street. The Cohatch is inside the waterfront directly next to Bath and Body Works. There's free parking. You don't have to worry about finding somewhere to park. Yeah. And there is a cost associated with it. There has been some donations or sponsorships. So the tickets are now $30 per person. And that includes your food, your complimentary massage, and the DJ. So you get all that for $30. You can't really go and get that. And even more so, just to give a glimpse of the buffet, there's going to be, you know, fried fish, chicken, grits, waffles, anything that you can, you know, think of, like, to have a nice brunch, but because I want you to not only feed you, but I want to feed your soul. So.
Gotcha. Well, that lunch right there suggested I need to be there. I was going to come anyway. But, I definitely need to show up now.
For sure.
Well, I'm going to make sure that a Second Chance Charitable Foundation gives you a donation as well, because I believe in sowing into opportunities for young folks who are doing something around the issues that are really important to us. So I will make sure that a Second Chance Charitable Foundation gives you a donation for the work that you're doing for our communities. So so how do people find out how to get the tickets, or is there a website or anything like that?
So there is a link, and there is a website and a flyer. I can send you that, and I don't know if, like, how you guys post in it. They can, you know, click on it from there. I also have a Facebook page, and if you search in the keywords like Beyond the Couch, it'll come up.
Cool.
Okay, give me a copy of the flyer, because, you know, now that I'm a social media giant, not.
She's doing big things.
Hello, if I dream.
That's right.
I can post it on my page, because I know when you spoke at a Love Fellowship, a lot of people actually tagged the mental health aspects of the convocation that Dr. Brock was having. And so they really sought the mental health section out. So I'd love to get your flyer so I can post it on my channel.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much for your support.
Absolutely. We want to do that. So make sure we get it, and we're going to put it out there so that people can get it. So we'll put it on our Facebook page for What's Up Cuz podcast and some other places as well. So do people need to get their tickets in advance? Is there a cutoff date that they need to let you know they're coming?
Yes, they need to be purchased in advance just so that we can prepare and make sure we have enough food for everyone. So the ticket sales will end on Wednesday.
Okay. So we'll get this posted.
Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, yes.
So we'll get this posted.
Now, you know, since I'm fashioned to lead, you know, by InStyle PhD, is there a dress code?
So the dress code is business casual.
Okay.
I want you to be comfortable, but, you know, I want you to be mindful.
Okay, business casual. Now, does that include, because, you know, jeans are a part of the aesthetic. And so, you know, so are jeans available, or with a nice blazer and that sort of thing?
You can dress down or up, however you like to do your denim. You can wear denim, that's welcome. You know, just a top, or if you want to wear a sweatshirt, you want to wear a short. This weather is kind of beautiful right now, so short sleeve shirts. Or if you want to throw on a blazer, feel free. Whatever you are comfortable in, as God says, come as you are. But, you know, everyone's welcome.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, I will definitely be stopping in. I really appreciate what you're doing for our community and our mental health professionals. And I kind of call you all mental wellness professionals, because I really operate from that strength-based lens that you talked about earlier. So kudos to you and all the remarkable work that you're doing with like-minded people like yourselves, getting us together so that we can heal, we can learn, we can love. And we can have our own journeys forward in this space. So thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Thornhill. Dr. Brock, do you have any last words for Dr. Thornhill?
No, just keep being amazing. I've watched you firsthand. And again, I'm like Dr. Sharon. I celebrate what you're doing and look forward to hearing how immensely grateful and blessed people are as a result of you taking this moment and pouring into their lives. So thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for being a guest today. And Dr. Sharon, I appreciate you for bringing her on.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day, Dr. Thornhill. And again, thank you for the generosity of your time, and talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care. Wow. Well, you heard it there. Dr. Tamara Thornhill doing great big things from Beyond the Couch, an event that will happen on this coming Saturday. So we encourage you, please get on there. You're hearing this. This is posted. If you're listening, figure out how you can get attached and connected to what she's doing. Grateful for her, Doc. And I know we have another guest that is going to join us. Another phenomenal woman as we look at that. She speaks, she serves. That's what we're entitling this episode of our podcast. So we have another individual who is phenomenal in doing some things around women. So once again, Doc, thank you for bringing our guest on today. Why don't you take a moment and share with us our next guest, if you will.
Absolutely. And I'm going to have her talk because she has so much energy, but I really appreciate Candice Lindsay. She is a supervisor at Second Chance. She's been with us for a very, very long time in multiple roles. But one of the things that she had talked to me about was this whole notion of how do we age gracefully and how do we age with wisdom and understanding about what's happening to our minds, bodies, and spirits. And so she wanted to create something, a safe space for women really to talk about all that they're going through, where we could share, where we could love on each other. And so I really want to bring Candice Lindsay in to talk about what she's doing in our community. Hey, Candice, how are you?
Hello.
How are you, lady?
Great having you with us on the What's Up Cuz podcast. I never hardly ever have to say that, Doc. You always say that. That's a tongue twister, huh?
Say it fast three times.
Oh, I can't. I'm gonna call it a moment. So, you know, so anywho, but Candice, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for having me. Oh, my goodness. And I'm coming right after Dr. Thornhill, girl, you like to set a lady up.
Well, we know that you are dynamic as she is, and it's just so wonderful to have both of you all to talk about, you know, she speaks, she serves. And we really just wanted to kind of center the work that you're doing in our community, particularly with women of the diaspora, Black women, particularly in the Pittsburgh community. So why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, and then we'll get into what you're doing with your program.
Oh, who I am. Look, that's a big question now. And that's one of the things about it. Like, who am I? This is Candice Lindsay. I am 52 years old. I can't believe that. That's crazy. I remember back in the day, that was old.
Wasn't it?
You still look like you're 25, so no worries. Right.
Thank you. You look good, man.
Because
I'm telling you, I'm so glad I don't look like what I went through. And Dr. McDaniels has said that to me. I've heard her say that so many times that, honey, it is so true.
So true. You know, life has a way of lifing, but we don't have to look like the lifing part of it, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And even if we do, at least what we're going to do is look cute.
Yes. Yes. Now, I will get them an outfit together, child. You might be broken down, but you're going to look like you are not.
Please, let me tell you. But yeah, so, I had been going, you know, back in my day, I'm 52 years old. That's the reason where it was coming from was that, you know, the way that I was brought up, it was one of those situations and, you know, whatever happens in here stays in here. So we had to keep everything a big old secret. So, you know, as I'm turning 52, I'm starting to go through menopause and, you know, now the kids is grown. I'm just kind of like looking around, not knowing what to do because everybody's like, this is your time, be you. And I'm like, yay, but what does that look like? I don't even know what that is. Because I've been a mother, I've been a, you know what I mean? I've been an aunt, I've been this. So it's like, now I got time to do me. I'm thinking to myself, like, after I take a nap, I'm thinking I got nothing else to do. So I'm like,
a nap.
She said a nap.
That's all I'm wanting is a nap. But I'm like, once I take my nap, I didn't know what else to do because most of the time I'm just running and running and running. So a little bit of a nap would be perfect for me. So it's like I'm talking to my girlfriend. So now I'm going through menopause. I'm having these hot flashes, and I kind of heard that menopause was kind of bad, but nobody told me that it was like this. Mm-hmm. I'm like a 52-year-old pregnant woman. Like mm-hmm. I am up, I'm down, I'm angry, I'm mad, I'm hot, I'm cold. Please don't say nothing. Certain materials are starting to irritate my skin. Certain senses, the smells make me want to gag. I'm like a 52-year-old pregnant woman. That's all I can make it seem like. That's it.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
Well, you know, Candice is a comedian. She does. Right, she needs right. to stand up anyway. Right. That's the other calling. We're going to get her a stand up
gig.
For
sure.
man. So as I'm starting to go through all this, and I'm saying to my girlfriend, like, well, why aren't we talking about this? Because, like, wait a minute. So you said that if I take this and this, I can stop with the hot flashes. And if I do that, well, why are you keeping this a secret? I'm like, let's talk about this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, again, and one of them also the things and being in the human, you know, in the human service field, like, I love helping people.
Yes.
And I'm just like, wait a minute. Like, we need to all get together. And it's just so, you know, around that time, you know, my grandmother had just passed away, and this back in September, it's been a year. So she was 92 years old. And so I just remember, you know, just growing up and just looking back at my life, because, like, now I got this time to kind of look over and kind of figure out some things. So with the first brunch that we had, it was called The Shift. Mm-hmm. And so The Shift was on looking at yourself. So as I'm starting to look at myself, I'm talking to myself and I'm, you know, saying, okay, self, well, what do you like to do? So I want to talk to my girlfriend. I'm like, well, now, you know, I got grandkids. So now I want to go do appetizers and go have a glass of wine and I'm kind of done for the day. Like, you know what I mean? Like the way I want to party and want to have a good time, it's different now. You know, I'm in a different type of a level. I just kind of want to relax. Like going to look at flowers is peaceful for me. I'm like, that's a good day. You know, go have us some little dinner. Have us, you know, out on a little patio. I'm, you know, I'm gonna cross my legs and look cute.
You done leveled up, child. You know, we no more. It is at the, you know, the jazz club, right?
Yeah, I'm at that age. I am happy with it. I say, well, I always say, I go to work and go to Walmart. I don't have no drama. Mm-hmm. I go to work and go to Walmart.
You say go to work and go to Walmart.
What I do? What you do? I go to work and I go to Walmart.
Oh, God.
I don't want no problem.
That's exactly right. You got to keep it simple.
Exactly. Because I'm telling you, if something happened to me, please call the police. They got people who do that. People work that out. I don't know what that is. They have a whole profession of people who do that. That's why we came on second
because we knew that we would be trying. We already knew that. So. But work at Walmart, that sounds like a good day to meet you, Candy. So.
It's nice and peaceful. You know what I mean?
Nobody bothering
you. I don't want no problems. I don't want no issues. Let me also say this
to the fashionistas. Okay, if you at Walmart, the Scoop brand, okay, what I need you all to understand, Scoop.
Can I tell you, I am so upset that gray and polka dot set is out of my size. Did you see that one? It's like a teeter print. It's like gray with the black.
Did y'all just start talking about Walmart fashion?
Yes. Sorry. Okay, that's all I'm just saying. You know, anytime there's a fashion moment, I lean right into it.
Jumps right in. Girl, listen, Doc was dressed up one time, Candice. I'm talking about killer. Okay, we're out. She's killer. I'm like, Doc, this is cute. Oh my God, that's cute. And then she was like, yeah, this is my this and this is my that and these are my Walmart shoes. I was like, wait, what? She had Walmart shoes on. Okay, killing the outfit with a pair of Walmart shoes.
When I think that, killing it.
At the Walmart and the Scoop brand. So for our audience, I need you all to know, look at Walmart and
look at,
actually it's a African-American designer, who is a part of the Scoop brand. And so, he actually designed for Walmart. So don't, you know.
I'm just going to have to get the bomber jacket. And they got so many pieces. I downloaded the Walmart app, so now I can just start putting myself in my cart. And I ain't got time to be playing around anymore. I need to know who I am so I can just place my order.
Ladies and gentlemen, this episode brought to you by Walmart.
Yeah, well, not really, y'all. We are not. No.
We wish it was. Listen, we wish it was, but
we would love a sponsorship at one point, one day,
at some point in life. We're going to get there. But anyway, so after Walmart, then what do we do? Because we talked about the hot flashes. We talked about, you know, your girlfriends, good girlfriends need to understand and have these conversations. You go to work at Walmart. So then talk to us about your initiative. So, you know, what how did it come about?
So again, I'm sitting to myself because most of them, you know, I always say my people, we're about 45 years old because I always try to say if we went to high school together, that kind of can let us know if we're kind of in the same age bracket. So I'm thinking women around my age, I'm thinking, well, we like to do things, but let's get together and kind of head it towards it's where we can all kind of fellowship together. And again, still with me loving to do events and parties, I'm like, well, let's have it on this type of level. So maybe a couple years ago, I, you know, had something at my house and we wanted to do that. And so I got 11 women together. We host some food. We talked about this book. It was beautiful. I was like, well, let's keep doing this. So recently, as I'm getting to like 50 years old, trying to look at myself and going back and just reinventing myself, I said, well, let's do these kind of brunches. So it all started when just thinking back growing up with, you know, with my grandmother and them, and we would, going downtown was like a big deal. So my grandmother would say one day, hey, come on, we're going downtown. So we would get all dressed up and my grandfather would take us to Wilkinsburg and when we would catch the bus right in front of GC Murphy's and then we would do our shopping and do all those things and go to Gimbel's and walk around and we would go and she said, well, ladies, are you hungry? And we would stop and say, yes. He said, well, let's go do lunch. And we would go to Kaufman's and we would go upstairs up into the top level and we would go have lunch. And we would sit around a table and she would get the linen napkins and she would say, put it on there. And she would say, sit up straight. And the first thing we would do was like order tea. And I remember us sitting around and then she would look around the table and say, just look at us. We're ladies. We do lunch. And to me, that was one of the most classiest things in the world because I looked at my grandmother and them as these were the women. Again, they were housewives, but they were the CEOs of the family. They ran the family. You know, my grandfathers and them went out and they worked and they stayed home and raised the kids. So they were like the CEOs of the company and they were always just so classy, you know, always dressed up, looked to the nine. And, you know, that's just the way that I was brought up. So hosting these events is one of these things where I want to look at women right now when we're at this age. I want us to look back and I want us to reinvent ourselves and get to know ourselves. And in that, we, you know, we worked hard. So I like things to look nice. So I want these brunches to be very elegant. But I want to also bring women to that can pour into them internally. So we have our lifestyle coach, Heather Carpenter. She did the first series, so she's going to do the next four series because she has committed to that, you know, offline. And she breaks down the inner part of the self. And so now we're talking about the mirror. So on October 18th, we're having our part two, which is called the mirror, which is kind of to look into yourself. And so now we're going to do, so Heather's going to be there. She's going to be talking about almost like a resume, just kind of reintroducing yourself. I got hairdresser of Robin Gear. She's coming to do wellness. Anybody who knows Robin, she's into wellness and health and nature. And at 55 years old, she looks phenomenal. On her page, you can see her doing her daily workouts every day. I'm like, woo! Okay. And then, I mean, again, we have another person we would love to come because she joined us for the first time. I'm just going to put it out there, Dr. Sharon McDaniels. We want her to come in and talk about the fashion aspect of it because it's called it's worthy. It's worthy. I'm that old. It's wellness, worth, and what really matters. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. There's some W's. I'm getting old. Mm-hmm. So Heather's going to do the what really matters. Robin is going to do the wellness ass of it. And if Dr. McDaniels would be able to join, she would do the worthy portion of the fashion. Like what are the key pieces that you need to kind of, spend your money on. If you're going to invest some things, where are the key pieces that you need to kind of put on?
So that's excellent. Well, and I will definitely be there for sure. So no worries. I have put it in my calendar already. So no worries.
I enjoy
being there. It's a wonderful experience.
Thank you. And this time we are going to, I mean, anybody who knows on my social medias, please go back on it at the first brunch. It was absolutely phenomenal. And again, when Dr. McDaniels walked past and she looked at you and she was to the when I tell you Dr. Brock, she showed off.
You don't.
She showed off.
You don't
what
have
I,
to. You don't.
Do?
You don't have you, to tell was, me. Listen, listen. This woman will get on a Zoom meeting, and she had an outfit on, and I commented later, said that outfit was so sharp. She said, "Oh, that was a nightgown. I just put a brooch on it or whatever." Listen, you don't have to tell me about this one right here. I've been watching this young lady right here for a while, and she always shows up and shows out. She just,
you gotta represent. You gotta represent.
Listen, Dr. Brock.
Listen, you don't have to tell me about.
Each of us had t-shirts. Everybody who was there was me, her, and Heather, and everybody could just dress the t-shirt up the way they want to. Did she not come in there with this two-piece pinstripe bad suit that was a men's suit that she got from Zara? She said it was $30 or something. I looked at her and said,
listen, you're preaching to the choir right now. I know. I have actually called my cousin and said, "Cuz, I'm wearing such and such." Matter of fact, I had an event to go to that I was being honored at last month, and I had this suit, and I said to her, "I'm struggling because this suit, blah 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 blah." I went and brought the suit over to her house, and let me just tell you. Let me just have a moment. Doc, did I not wear it well?
you wore it well, and so my style is not for women. I can help brothers out, you know. I mean, I thank God for the vision, and I thank God, Candice, for you giving me the space to do that, right? Because I think what I wanted people to understand is that you can look amazing on a budget.
Right.
You don't have to go and spend your last to look amazing. But everybody had they styled the t-shirt in the way that represented them. So I knew you were going to have some bling and cleavage, you know. I knew, as I said, if you were all buttoned up, I'm like, what's wrong with Candy?
Right.
You know,
she's not feeling well.
Right. She's not feeling well today. So, but the place was beautiful. The food was amazing. I mean, for any woman who wants a space to just feel taken care of, thought about, and more importantly, seen. I think, Candy, that's the thing that you really create. You create an environment where women can be seen. And I think that that's so beautiful. And I'm just so proud of you that you took the plunge, you know, because one of the things that you talked about, like, you know, we kind of get in our heads, like, can I? You really dismantled all of that. You quieted the noise down and you leaned in, and it is absolutely phenomenal. So for our listening audience, if you want a space just to be and to be seen, and I'm talking about seen not so much of, oh, I'm here, but seen in terms of what you're going through, seen of that you are my sister, you are my sister's keeper because you are my sister. So it's really all of that, and I really appreciate the space that you created for the women.
Yes, and that's what I want to do again. And that's even what Dr. T just said. I want to feed you internally, and I also want to feed. I want to feed your soul and your belly, and I want to create a space of elegance. These brunches are beautiful. I want when you come out, and I want you to feel like a lady. Because to me, in this phase, and with me looking at the shift, what I feel is though now I'm leaning into my femininity. That is where my shift is coming. Is leaning into my femininity, like the softness of it. And I want women to come out so they can feel. I want the space to be beautiful. I need the food to be beautiful. I need the people to be there. I want you to feel beautiful. And that's where it is. So we're having it on October 18th. It's from 1 to 4 p.m. It is, the tickets are $45. They are on Eventbrite. Also, there, you also cash at me because you just look at me on my social media platforms. I have a Facebook page, which is mine. And I also have one, which is called Ladies Who Do Lunch. Again, this is what we are. This is our part two. It's called The Mirror. Again, it's going to be beautiful. I'm going to have beautiful food. The one thing I also is that with this company, I am trying to work with only black female entrepreneurs in this. Mm-hmm. So the lady whose venue it is, she is a black woman. The lady who's a caterer, she is also a black woman entrepreneur. The photographer was a black woman entrepreneur. The lady who made the t-shirts was black women entrepreneurs. Everybody who was on the panel and who spoke are black women entrepreneurs. So those are one of the other things that I want to do with Ladies Who Do Lunches. I want to also know that as black women, we can do it all. And again, I want to be in a space where I'm 52 years old and I'm just finding out who Candy is right now. Right. So again, that's why I say she's a little girl, because as she, you know, again, I feel like I am a little girl and I am blossoming into a woman. And I'm so excited for this. And I want every woman, because this is the best I've ever felt in my life. I want every woman on this earth to feel the same exact way. You deserve to be loved, to feel loved, and especially by yourself. It's the best thing ever happened to me.
It's nothing like it. And you know what? And particularly as Black women, we're not taught about loving. We're always talking about giving to others. So for you to be operating in a space that it really is about self-love, because part of that is that self-identity as well. And so I see how you move and shake just very differently because you are engaged in that self-love. And I would suggest that, you know, it's me as well. I'm 10 years older than you, but really it's, you know, and that's what my channel is all about as well, is how do people be seen before you get to 62 and really talk about that self-love. Excuse me. And so I really appreciate the fact that the other thing, your mother was there. So talk about like how your mother experienced your event.
Oh my goodness. And this is also another way, because when I say women over 45, because my mother has been caregiving for my grandmother for years. She moved her in, and anybody who has taken care of a parent or a loved one or aunt, uncle understands the work of a caregiver. Mm-hmm. My mother found, you know, with my grandmother passing, she was at that space too. So just how I'm saying I'm just finding myself, she's just finding herself as well. Because she was saying, Candy, I forgot who I was so long. And so now to see my mother blossom and grow, and so for her to see me in this space, and when she looks back at me and says that she's proud, like that, those are the most touching moments that I think I kind of been, you know, striving to get, was that, you know, I'm so proud of you. And then to see my daughter, who was there as well.
Yes, I was going to say that. Your daughter, too. Yes. I mean, just the beautiful family, your mother, you, and your daughter. Oh, my gosh. It's beautiful to see.
It is the most beautiful thing in the world. My mother is 70 now. So, you know, to see her now, it's like I'm finally getting to know who Diane is, too. Because I think she's just figuring it out herself.
That's so good. I love that. Beautiful. Your mom was there. You and your daughter, and to see you three together in just such a beautiful space. And what I've always loved about you is your elegance. You know, you girl, you'll put things on. You'll say, well, doc, how do I need to, I just help fine tune a little bit. And girl, and since I done had that conversation with you, I was like, she's showing up with her glasses, her earrings, her necklaces. Child, you be doing it all. So, you know,
when I tell you, I said, doc, I think I got some bases. I said, but guess what? I need you to let me turn up a notch. Listen. I need to put my foot on people's neck.
Yeah, well, you have been putting it on the neck, the body, the whole nine yards. I said, you know what? My work is done right here. And it was.
Yes. I want to be seen. And I just feel like when you are in this space, I mean, again, I'm going to shine. And it's not my fault that you. I want you to be here. And I want you to ask me how I got here so I can tell you the story. Because understand that it has been a lot of work to get here. And it took me a long time. And when you finally feel good about yourself, you just shine bright. And I am in a space of shining bright. And what I want everybody to do is just take the time and say, hey, what are you doing differently? What's going on with you? Because I see it. And I'm going to be like, girl, let's go. And this is what the brunch is about. It's like us coming together. And with you seeing how I have transformed and how I'm shining, that I want you to shine too, that I want us all to. We deserve it. We got more years behind us than we got in front of us.
That's true. Candice, listen, you told us how much it was. You told us the hours from 1 to 4, the date. But what we didn't get is where is it going to be hosted?
Oh, yes. Oh, it's going to be at the CKV Suite on 328 North Homewood Avenue. It's right there in Homewood. It's going to be, right down there, again, Black Entrepreneur Woman. She did the decor. She got the venue. She did it all. It was elegant. It was beautiful.
Well, it's great.
She's doing this one as well.
Well, you know, I've just loved it. I'm sitting here, and today I've kind of been just kind of listening in on all you fabulous women. And I just want to share this with you. This is my little piece that I want to share about the three of you. One, I've been hosting this show with Dr. Sharon for a while now. And it has always been phenomenal. And I always leave better than I came in. I'm always leaving with a nugget because she is a phenomenal woman. She's heard me say it a lot of times, and she really is a phenomenal, gifted woman. And I'm grateful for hearing about Dr. T today and just sharing what she's doing and then hearing about you. I had a situation that happened yesterday, and I want to share this with you, Doc. I didn't get a chance to beforehand, but both of you. I went to the church yesterday and I was going to clean the bus. All right. So we have a nice, beautiful bus and I was going to clean the bus yesterday. And I got to the church and I took my hose over to the church. I had my shampoo and all my stuff ready to go. And I sprayed the bus for about 2 minutes and then it hit me. And I thought about it. I said, there's a young man that rides this bus just about every Sunday to church who has a detail business. But for some reason, Dr. Sharon, he's ridden on this bus almost every week to come to church, and it never dawned on him that this was an opportunity. And so it hit me in that moment. I said, man, this young man is poor, P-O-O-R, because he keeps passing over opportunities repeatedly. He has sat there repeatedly passing over the opportunity to say, hey, church, I go here, but I could keep this bus clean for you for X amount of dollars every month or whatever. And so I called him and said, help me understand why you ride this bus every week, but it never dawned on you to what. And I said all that because when it hit me, it resonated. And I kept thinking, poor is passing over opportunities repeatedly. And what I've learned about, and I've learned with Dr. Sharon, and now I'm hearing with you and Dr. Tamara, that you guys have seized an opportunity. You did not let this opportunity pass you by. And I tell people, it's not being poor just for money. It's not about making money. You could be poor because you've passed over the opportunity to pour into somebody else's life. Doc will pour into, she is one that pours into all of our lives. We are better because of her. You know, I tell people that all the time. If you are the smartest one in your group, you need a new group. But we're better. And I honor you too, because you've seized the opportunity. You're not passing over the opportunity. I loved how Doc said, I refuse to go and grow old in the corner because that's what we're supposed to do. So now she's come out with the fashion and the things she's doing. You're sitting here saying, I'm 52. And how you described yourself was hilarious. I'm 52 years old. I got these things going on, but I refuse to go in the corner and dry up and die. So I honor you guys. And how can you two, and I'm asking you this, how do you encourage our community? How do you encourage other Black women, Dr. Sharon and Candice? How do you encourage other people to not be poor? Quit passing over opportunities to improve. And that's what I was saying to him. You're passing over the opportunity to have success and to improve. Don't waste the opportunity. So to both of you, thank you for not passing up the opportunity, but how can you encourage some of our other sisters that may be listening? She speaks, she serves. How can they serve and how can they come forth where they are?
Well, I'll go first because I think that Candice will want me to go first. So I'll just go first. And so I think that one, you have to create the atmosphere and the environment for people to feel that they can actually dream their big dreams. One of the things that I always say at a second chance, if you can dream it, we can make it happen because we'll find the resources, but you have to be able to dream it. I'm not one who would ever step on someone's dream because no one stepped on mine. And so you have to create that environment so that people believe that they have an opportunity to be able to create and dream, right? So that's the first thing. And then secondly, how do we cultivate that in someone? When Candy said to me, Doc, I think I do X, Y, and Z well, but how can you help me elevate my notch up? And I would just say, do X, Y, and Z. So the other thing is being in relationship. You have to be in relationship with the person for them to feel safe that they can be vulnerable to ask the questions that's going to help them elevate or whatever. And so I think that those are, that's two. And then the last thing I would say is that it has to be within you. It has to be that self-motivation. Like nobody can give you what's already in you. God has birthed that in you before you were even in the womb. So it's like really how are people operating and walking in purpose? And I would just offer that there's a lot of people who are not walking in purpose, and that's why they're unhappy in their positions. That's why they keep on going from job to job to job because they don't understand real purpose. And so I think when you find purpose, there's alignment. And that's what I've seen with Candice. There's an alignment because she's operating in purpose. So, Candy, I'll turn it over to you to hear what you have to say about that.
That was good, Doc. Thank you for that. I took notes. So.
you're welcome.
So you got a create opportunity.
Wait, as she was talking, I had to make sure I had to take notes. No, this, honey.
Yeah, that's
when
that's
at this
three.
Point in time and age, and when you work for, you know, I just know that come prepared. Well, come prepared. I'm prepared. You know, come prepared. Because sometimes it says, just come prepared.
For sure. For sure.
So if I had to tell a young lady what it is that to let them know that it's okay to be you.
Yes.
To know that, understand that it's your dream and nobody's going to see it. And you're going to try to explain it. You could say it's red. It got polka dots and spots, and then it curls to the left and nobody's going to be able to see it but you. And if you can see it, you can believe it and it can happen. And understand it's okay to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is to know that when people look at you and they just like, to be different is to be okay. To
yeah.
be different is, and it's going to be so uncomfortable. And I tell you this, I think I had a podcast I think I heard over, I think from Will Smith when he said, on the other side of fear is greatness.
Yeah.
So when you are the fear, it's like jumping out a airplane with no parachute. That's the way it's going to believe because you ain't going to believe. It's just like taking, it's just like a wind in the wings and you're like, oh my goodness, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to feel like that and that's when you know it's about to happen.
Yes. Now, I really like what you're saying, and I think that really is, you know, we talk about fear of false evidence appearing real, right? Because we really don't, we get into our heads about certain things. But the other thing I would say, to your point, it's okay to be you, because guess what? You are fearfully and wonderfully made just as you. Like, I don't want to be, I can't be anybody else. Right. I'm just learning how to be me. So being somebody else, oh, Lord. So anywho, I like who God has created with all of my stuff, right? Because the stuff makes me who I am. And so, yeah, I think that, but the other thing I would just offer for consideration is that we just have to begin to celebrate difference. Because to your point, difference is not good or bad. It's just different. And isn't it beautiful? Like, can you imagine if everybody looked the same, everybody dressed the same? That, how boring would that be? So I really appreciate the difference. I celebrate difference and actually that diversity, like how you, I know I'm going to have some cleavage. I know it's going to be a fashionable look when it comes to Candy. I love that because that defines you. That's your aesthetic, right? And so it really is about how do we, and I think the space that you're creating is you are saying, I celebrate you just as you are.
Right.
I love you just as you are. You are fearfully and wonderfully made just as you are. And so this place, in addition to women who do lunch, it is just as you are. So I thank you for just leaning in and all the things that you're doing. And I love that the fact that you've been on this 30-day journey of going on social media every day. So when you have your morning coffee and her glasses on, her hair be all nice and cropped, and she's like, okay, here I am, y'all. So I just love that because I'm like tuning in every morning. Let me see what Candy's doing today. So congratulations on just doing that. That was random, right?
Yes, it was random. It was just like, hey, I said, you know what? I got to get out of here and I got to promote. But again, people want to know what it is. I mean, let's talk about it. So I'm just in there having my iced coffee, driving to work and just like, hey, girl, like what's going on today? Like, you know what I mean? So that's where I'm out of space. Let's talk about it every single day. Because, again, I want to know what I'm spending my $45 on. Because what happened? Mm-hmm. What? Okay.
Right.
I like
That's
that.
Right. Well, give us your social media handle so we'll know where we can find you. Because I want people to know I like and star all the time. I try to make sure I comment because, you know, I'm also building, you know, want to build community. I mean, as for those of us who are newer to social media, there's some great things going on. And I'm really grateful that you're in this space and the things that you're doing. So thank you. Before you give us your social media handle, but thank you so much for agreeing to be a part of our podcast today. I love what you're doing. I think it's phenomenal. It creates a space for me to come to share my passion as well. So I thank you for creating the space for me to be there as well.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. McDonald. It has been an honor because, again, I love this. I love this fashion news. Like, this is, I say, this is, she, anybody who asks me, like, how is people, I say, she is living her best life. She is living her best life. Her best life. And when she says she got four closets, can I tell people to stop saying that? She has four showrooms.
That part. I call them vaults. I don't even call them closets. I said they're vaults. But, you know, Candace, to your point, I said this about Dr. Sharon. Some people know she's my cousin. But beyond that, I said this is the first time that I've seen her doing something for her, something that she enjoys. And that's why I am 100% on board. I get a little attitude when she didn't post one day or something. I said, did you post today? Did you? Like, wait, what's going on?
My mother has to get Instagram just so she can get this thing. My mother is upset about not, she got to get on. She needs this magazine. My mother is upset. Don't play with her about seeing.
Listen.
Oh my God, it's beautiful.
Listen, and I tell her, I said, I'm so glad, and I am one that pushes her, and supports her, because I told her, I said, Doc, this is one of the first times I saw you doing something for you that you enjoy. So I get on, I comment, I'm a Substack subscriber, I'm on her Instagram, I'm on her YouTube, and I try to stay current. And when we got on earlier and she said such and such, I said, when's it coming? She said, you didn't look. I was like, I'm caught up. I was getting an attitude today. I'm caught up. But I didn't. She posted something today. But I appreciate both of you and what you're doing. Thank you, Candace, for creating an environment for women to be seen and to be heard and to know that it's okay to be where they are, but have a plan to go somewhere else. And same with you, Dr. Sharon. Thank you for allowing women to not go in the corner and die gracefully in the corner, if you will. I love what you're doing and how you're encouraging women and also giving us the tidbits on the leadership piece. Cause I've taken some of the leadership stuff and be like to my leaders.
Man, I'm like, she wouldn't be honest if she didn't get a PhD.
Listen,
she wouldn't be honest. You know, she can't just get one doctor. She can't get two. She can't get three. And she can't get a PhD in it.
Listen.
You know how she is.
Listen, listen. I call her D square because of her two doctorates. That's my nickname for her. I call her D square. D square is what I call her. But again, both of you are phenomenal women. Thank you, Candace, for coming on today and sharing with us. And we appreciate Dr. Thornhill for being an earlier guest.
I can't wait. Listen. And again, for our listening audience, if you miss it, you've missed it.
And if you see,
you have to be there. It was amazing, and I'm sure Dr. Thornhill's would be equally amazing. So you have to
do it in
September, and then you'll have something to do in October. So we cannot say we don't have anywhere to wear our fit because we have two events right now that we just talked about. So let's show up at
our
call. And if you see strange looking lady in the corner with a beard and a mustache or whatever, just don't worry about it. Okay. I'm working it out.
No problem. But thank you, everybody. Again, meet me on my social media. It's Candace Lindsay.
Okay.
Facebook is Candace Lindsay. Candeese Lindsay, Lindsay. Please reach out onto me on that. It's also Ladies Who Do Lunch on Instagram, TikTok, and also on my Instagram, which is going to be Miss Candy Girl. Miss Candy Girl. And Candy's with an I.
Yes. And yes. I call her Candy Yams every time I say, yes. Candy Yams.
Well, we have those written down and we're going to put them in the description, ladies and gentlemen, in case you didn't write them down. Just look at the description of the podcast and all these links. You will be able to find Candace and what she's doing, Dr. Tamara and what she's doing, but also my co-host, the one and only Dr. Sharon McDaniel, and what she is doing with InStyle PhD and Fashion Fusion Magazine and just some other things that you will hear. So if you didn't write them down, don't worry. Just go right to the to the description and the links are there for you to click on and find out what these phenomenal, innovative women are doing, because truly they speak, and they not only speak, but they are serving our community, doing a phenomenal job, coming forth, bringing women with them. I love it that they're not just shining their light, but they're helping other individuals to shine their light. So if your light's a little dim, here's some bulbs y'all can get, all right, to brighten your light, because I want you to know that they are phenomenal. And I'm honored to share this moment with these three phenomenal women. And I'm telling you, I promise you, I make a guarantee, a money back guarantee. You will be better having incurred and gone to these events than you were when you came in. Go in one way, but expect to leave a different way. So Candice, we are so grateful. Thank you for being here with us today. You are a phenomenal woman indeed. Dr. T, we thank you for what you are doing in the community. And as always, my co-host, the one and only, always ready, and the innovative Dr. Sharon McDaniel. I love you, cuz, and I'm grateful for doing this podcast with you. And as I like to say, as we get out of here, what's up, cuz?
What's up, cuz?
Until we meet again, you guys keep the shiny side up.